Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Flint, we're so thankful for you and your family. Well, we're back. We're here. And I tell you what, I've had 2 weeks that this sermon has been prepared, so hopefully I'm not rusty, right? I'm ready to slay some dragons, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right, well, good morning and thank you for being with us today. And boy, it's been awesome to get to just be with each other again. And I know it felt like it was only 2 weeks ago, but still, it feels like forever when you're not with your church family. But as you know, we've been in the book of Daniel for quite a while, and we are in chapter 10. We are inching closer to the end of the book, and today we are going to talk about paying attention. This is something that I struggle with sometimes. But I had a story that reminded me a little bit about needing to pay attention. When I was 11 or so, I was with my father out in the backyard doing work like a good Gen X father would make a son my age do. But he was a very skilled craftsman, a carpenter. There's probably a joke about Jesus in there, but I got nothing for you. So we're going to move on from there. But he worked on the road. He would travel all over the country, worked out of a small town in Schaumburg, Illinois, called Langford, or a small company called Langford Construction. He would travel to make Walmart and Target. He would help build these massive supermarkets. Kmart, if you remember Kmart, who remembers Kmart? Yeah, they're gone. Sorry. No more blue light specials for you. I miss Kmart a lot. That was fun. But he was always traveling, and eventually, you know, he had a back injury and was out of work, and so he was at home. But of course, he had to do something because he was a craftsman, he was a carpenter. And so he made some incredible things out of wood. He would fix anything for anybody, but he would also never be content with the way his yard looked, like a Gen X dad. And so there was this massive picnic table in our backyard, and I mean massive, like probably from this podium to maybe this microphone, mic stand. It was huge. And if you've seen our picnic tables out in the Persimmon Grove over there, think of how heavy those are. If any of you have ever had to move them, add about 1,000 pounds to that. I'm not joking. This thing was just made of solid wood, super heavy, but he was ready to move it. And not even just 4 grown men could move it on their own. And so he had the idea to attach a chain to the back hitch of his truck and then to the leg of the picnic table. It sounded like a great idea. So I told him, hey, Dad, that sounds like a great idea, but watch out for this root that you're trying to cross over from a tree. It was down a hill in our yard. And he's like, you know what? I got it. Everything's going to be fine. We'll get there. But so we moved it and we got the chain ready to go. It took like me, my mother, my sister to pick up just a little bitty piece of the leg to get the chain wrapped around. And so off he goes with his truck. Now his truck had an extended cab, so there was, you know, a lot more room in the back of the bed of the truck that had a nice window. Remember that window? That was very nice in a second. So we started moving it, and I said one more time, hey, Dad, make sure you watch out for that root because I'm afraid the picnic table might catch it. He said, I know. I'll take a look at it. Okay. So as I'm standing as an innocent bystander with my hands clean like Pontius Pilate, having nothing to do with this issue, my father took as much gas as he could, and he honestly made more issues in the yard than he was planning to. This thing started moving and everything was good, and so he had to keep giving it gas, and the picnic table was moving, and you know, like, grass isn't all flat. Again, tried to tell him, didn't work. But he's going down the hill, and then he goes over the root And the picnic table catches the root. And you ever have those moments where you feel like you're watching slow motion? The picnic table does a 360. And I yell at my dad, "Hey, Dad!" And he said, "What?" And he hits the gas, and down comes the picnic table into the back windshield of his truck. Glass everywhere. Words I can't say in church happened. I had to clean that up, and it took a lot longer than I thought, but he didn't pay attention. And I didn't really think telling him that at that point was probably helpful. But 5, 6, 7 years ago, we ended up talking and joking about that. But I remember being like, "Hey, Dad, you're a very smart guy. You're a craftsman. But that wasn't one of your finest moments." Unfortunately, as you could probably talk to Pastor Wick this week when I was trying to hang a few things in my office, I did not get those craftsman skills. So please do not ask me to fix something for you. I will be asking the property team to do it. So be ready. But another thing it reminded me of is my wife and I love to play this incredible board game called Ticket to Ride. If you've ever played it, it's basically a board game where you have to get your trains from one point to the next across a map, and whoever has the most points or gets the longest train to wins. And we have this friend that plays completely different than us. She sits there and she meticulously looks at every card and plans out her next attack. And I tell you, it takes 5 minutes a turn. And Emma and I are like, "Let's go. Come on. Let's move it. We got things to do. We're trying to win." And honestly, our friend always beats us, because she takes her time and she analyzes and she pays attention to what's ahead of her. And sometimes I'm recognized in my life that it's time for us to stop. It's time for us to walk with the Lord and know that we can have divinely important moments, just much like Daniel has here. So we're going to read the verses in Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 1 through 11. And spoiler alert, there's going to be a cliffhanger at the end, because we don't do it that way here. In the third year, King Cyrus of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. The word was true, and it concerned a great conflict. He understood the word, having understanding in the vision. At that time, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 weeks. I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine had entered my mouth, and I had not anointed myself at all for 3 full weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is Tigris. I looked up and saw a man in linen with the belt of gold around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face was like lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, and his arms and legs were like a gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the roar of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The people who were with me did not see the vision, though a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone with that great vision. My strength left me, and my complexion grew deathly pale, and I retained no strength. When I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a trance, face to the ground, but then a hand touched me and brought me to my knees. And he said, "Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words that I'm going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you." So while he was still speaking this word to me, I stood up, trembling. We don't know what the word is. You'll have to come back next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may you reveal your word deeper to us today as we dive into it. Lord, may you have your way, and may it be your words that you speak through me. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So there's a lot to unpack here, and a lot like Pastor Wick did a few weeks ago, I want to break it down verse by verse. I want us to walk through each of these things, because there's a lot here. So let's start in Daniel 10:1. In the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. I could never pronounce that well. This word was true and concerned a great conflict. He understood the word, having received understanding in the vision. As Daniel had received once more, again, a vision, as we've seen in so many chapters of this book, And it had to do with a great conflict. We don't fully know exactly what this great conflict is. It could be that the Jews are absent from building the temple. It could be from other sort of war that's impending. We're not fully aware. But yet Daniel's heart is troubled. But Daniel, unlike some of the other visions in the past, he understood the words that were spoken to him right away. So Daniel was given wisdom to understand the vision that was ahead. A few chapters ago, he was given a vision. It was spoken to him, yet he did not fully grasp it until later. But this one ended up being very clear. And in verses 2 and 3, it says, "At that time, Daniel had been mourning for 3 weeks. I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine had entered my mouth, and I had not anointed myself at all. For 3 full weeks. I could not imagine living a life like that. It would be hard. But Daniel was what he described as himself as mourning, a common practice in the Jewish culture. Often they would shave their heads, put on this clothes called sackcloth, so people would know that they were mourning, know that they were hurting, and even fasting. But Daniel was waiting on the Lord to hear from him. So he put himself in a place of humility to hear from God, but also mourn the things that were going on in his life. He kept at what it seems as a similar fast from the first chapter of the book, the Daniel fast that you've probably heard of, where the men, the army, only ate fruits and veggies. And it suggests that he was taking a similar fast. Yet Daniel took a clear posture of humility and repentance in order to experience a word from the Father. On to verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river that is the Tigris. What's really important to note here is that Daniel is still remaining in the same posture on the Tigris River as he was in chapters 8 and 9. It was this place that he knew he could hear from the Lord, where he had interpreted visions, where he had had these experiences. I ask, in your life, in what place do you experience the Lord best? Where do you see God work in your life? And then another thing that's really important to note, he was fasting during very key Jewish festivals of Passover and of the unleavened bread. He's being very intentional, and he was desperately crying out to God. He was desperate to hear from the Lord. On to 5 and 6. I looked up and saw a man clothed in linen with a belt of gold around his waist. His body was like beryl. His face is like lightning. His eyes were flaming torches. His arms and legs like a gleam of burnished bronze. And the sound of the words were like a roar of a multitude. There's a lot of debate here of who this figure is. Read it throughout this week. Is it Gabriel, who we've revealed before in this book, we see down the road in Scripture, or is it even Jesus? Now, there's a lot we could go through. We could sift through that in a whole sermon. I could have Milo teach a class on it, I bet. But one thing to note is that the Lord met Daniel, and that we can assume that it was a figure of Jesus. We can assume that it was an angelic figure showing himself the future, showing the Lord's beauty and splendor to Daniel. And it's okay to allow Scripture to still have mystery. That's the beauty of this. One thing to note is that normally when Gabriel revealed himself to people, it was noted in Scripture. Here it was not. So that leads many to believe it was a pre-incarnate version of Jesus. Just something to think about. But the words that he spoke and the way that he looked is similar to a connection in Revelation verses 1 through 14. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And there is a lot of apocalyptic connection themes. Again, a whole nother sermon for a whole different time. But what we note is that the Lord is meeting Daniel in his humility and faithfulness, in his desperation. So Daniel has done the work. He's cried out to the Lord. He's fasted. He's prayed. And he's spent the time. And now this figure has revealed himself. In 7 and 8, it says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The people who were with me did not see the vision, though a great trembling fell upon them, and they hid themselves. So I was left alone to see this great vision. My strength left me, my complexion grew deathly pale, and I regained no strength. What a time to be around other people, huh? Daniel was in the presence of others, but only he could hear the voice. Only he could see the vision. Only he understood what was going on. The others knew something was going on, so they ran away. They hid themselves. But Daniel yet was set apart to receive this message, even though he was in the presence of others. So finally, the passage concludes with this cliffhanger for you. When I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a trance, face to the ground. But a hand touched me, roused me to my hands and my knees. He said to me, Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words that I am going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I now have been sent to you. So while he was speaking this word to me, I stood up, trembling. So once again, Daniel finds himself in this humble place before God. Not feeling maybe worthy, but the first thing he hears is greatly beloved. Pay attention. So Daniel begins to get up and listens. This passage ends with an angelic figure reminding Daniel who he truly is, beloved by God. Sometimes we have to be reminded that we are God's beloved. This passage is just another example of a scripture that beholds God's faithful servant, Daniel, at the feet of the Father, stopping and listening, trying to pay attention to what the Lord was going to speak to him. He was mourning, maybe because of the lack of the Jewish people coming back to restore the temple. Maybe it was because of impending suffering. We don't fully know. The mystery of Scripture continues. But even in his moment of grief, Daniel goes the distance. It goes to great lengths. Mourning, fasting, and praying through important festivals and feasts of the Jewish people to be desperately seeking the Lord. So I want us to be encouraged by a few things today. Firstly, that the Lord hears our prayers. Will the Lord always answer our prayers the way we want them answered? Absolutely not. Because we don't always know best. But God hears us. He hears us in our desperation and knows that we are talking to him. So don't lose heart if you feel like your prayers aren't being answered. The Lord is working. And we need to pay attention to him and give attention to God. Continue to seek his presence daily. And nobody else can talk or hear from God quite like you do. Your relationship with God is different than the person sitting next to you. The way God speaks to you is going to be different than the person sitting next to you. So the way that we give attention to our Lord is going to be deeply ingrained on who he created us to be. I want to bring up a myth. God is not answering answering your prayers because you don't have enough faith. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus says, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, this small piece, that we can move mountains. That doesn't mean we get to be unwise, but it means even the smallest presence of God in our life can make a huge difference. So may we give attention to God. Secondly, we need to pay attention. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message declared through the angels proved valid and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first to the Lord and confirmed for us by those who have heard them. We need to pay attention to the words of Jesus. Spend time in Scripture. Spend time in prayer. What is that place that you need to go to? Is it 1,000 miles away, or is it in your own home? We need to normalize taking time off to go spend with God. I'm not saying you have to put your body through the physical gauntlet that Daniel was putting it through, but spend time fasting and praying. Spend time taking off something that you do normally. As we move into the Lent season, many of us will start a new 40-day fast or challenge, whatever you may call it. Don't see it as a challenge. See it as a time of growth to the Lord. I promise you, keep a journal of what God may be telling you and talking to you about. The Lord may be already using the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And if we aren't spending time with Him, how do we know what He is saying? He speaks audibly through others, through Scripture, nature, worship, and so many other facets. So don't limit Him. Pay attention. May we pursue spiritual practices. May we make space for God. Establish something new in your life. As we've been walking through talking about being a disciple in our youth ministry, for the last 3 weeks, I've been challenging our teens to start something new. Because new life brings forth healing. As we've heard before, salvation means creation healed. And when we bring something new into the equation of our spiritual lives, new things can start to spring up. So make space for God. Fast, pray, worship, read Scripture, journal, go on walks, whatever the Lord and you decide. But lastly, I want you to hear this. The word that was first spoken to Daniel was Kamad, beloved, to desire, to take pleasure in, to delight in, to covet. I believe that last commandment told us not to covet. But that's how God sees us. He desires you. He covets you. He takes pleasure and delights in you, just as He did in His servant Daniel. So much so that He would give His Son Jesus for us to die for our sins and show us the ultimate value of this life, to give us salvation, and not just to stop there, but to go and then share it with others. There are days we do not feel worthy. And even as an old man, Daniel gave reverence to this figure of God, fell to his knees in trembling and in fear, And yet God called him who he deeply was, beloved. So when you begin something new in your relationship with God, remember, come on. May we treat one another as God's beloved. May we treat one another with the same love and respect that God does to us. Our world needs that. I could list every place in the world right now where chaos is gone, but Pastor Wick already did that with his prayer. May we greet one another in the same tone, the same heart that God greeted Daniel. And may we pay attention to the words that we are speaking to one another. May we pay attention to the words that God is speaking to us, to this community. The beloved come right here. And remember the table. We come together as a community, as God's beloved, pursuing relationship together. And so we have this duty to spur one another on in love, in kindness, but also to ask the hard questions, to ask those discipleship band questions. How's your soul? Is there any sin you want to hide? Is there anything new that the Lord is doing in your life? But may we be a community that is desperate for the Spirit of God to move. May we go the distance. May we go to great lengths to hear from God and be prophetic people for the Lord. Someone just did it right there. I don't know who, but maybe that's the start. But may this desperation that God has for us be the same that we have for him. You may not have to do a 40-day Daniel fast, but I want to challenge you to begin something new in your life, a new spiritual practice. Because the God of heaven and earth, greatly beloved, desires you. Jesus loves you, and the Holy Spirit has empowered you. So may we go as people who walk in desperate pleasure with the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we move into communion. This spot is holy. It's a reminder of the sacrifice of a desperate Savior who wanted people to know him. And to not take his words lightly. And to be empowered by the Spirit of God. So we as a church can come to this table together and be reminded of the great sacrifice. That this salvation is creation healed. That creation is healing in this moment. And has already been healed by the blood of Jesus. So may we go as people, the Kamad, the beloved of God, who are desperate for something new, desperate for the Lord to move in our church. May you sing with us as we move into that time.